Hello, and welcome to the Shotgun Sportsman, a podcast about handgun hunting brought to you by Handgun Hunters International. My name is Ryan Hoover, and I'm your host. I believe handgun hunting is the most rewarding way to hunt, and it's something I want to share with as many people as I can. If you are at all interested in getting your own game meat, I want to challenge you to a way of hunting that is good for both your spirit and your body, so you can become the confident, self-reliant person you were meant to be. Today's podcast is with Dave House. Dave is one of the nicest, most engaging handgun hunters in the community, hands down. He's such a cool guy. And he came on to talk with me about Handgun Hunters Competition. Handgun Hunters Competition is held each year on Father's Day weekend in Newcastle, Wyoming. It's the brainchild of Chris Rhodes, the well-known gunsmith and shooter. He's responsible for a lot of really cool hunting handgun trends in our industry. Anyway, Dave and I talked about just what you can expect, how HHC got started, etc., and I know you're going to enjoy it. But before you do, I just want to remind all of you that if you're interested in attending HHC, they are pretty much full or almost full, so reach out immediately to them. Their website is handgunhunterscomp.com. Okay, I hope you all enjoy my interview with Dave House about Handgun Hunters Competition. Alrighty, Dave, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. So you've been involved with HHC from the beginning, as in several capacities, as a cheerleader, as a fan, as a competitor, as a member of the charitable board that oversees everything. Can you kind of start by telling me what was behind the formation of Handgun Hunters Competition? What were y'all thinking coming up with it, and just kind of the purpose of it?
Well, that's a great question. It's pretty simple, actually. There isn't a match that gets handgun hunters out there really shooting from field positions. There's matches out there that people can attend. You know, you can go attend a PRS match shooting a handgun. You'll be at a disadvantage, but you can still work on things. But this is all designed around field positions. So a few of us got together, we tinker and play and shoot at targets, like, hey, is anybody else being interested in this? Well, start putting out feelers. Absolutely. There's other people interested in this. So, you know, whenever you go to the range and you practice the things you're good at, the things that you like to do. Well, when you go to a match, you don't get that. You get to have to shoot whatever course of fire that match director set up for you. And then you get out of your comfort zone and, okay, I don't like this. I'm not good at this. I need to practice this more. So that's how the match guys started. Start putting the feeders out for everybody. Hey, come out to our match. Let's push your limits. Because if you stay in your comfort zone, that's where you're always going to be.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And when I went, that was absolutely the truth. But in the best way, you know, it's really, I'm not a competitive person by any stretch, except with myself. And that I really felt like it really was, you know, just trying to learn how to be a better handgun hunter versus yourself, not anybody else. I didn't find a lot of egos there or anything like that.
Oh, no, definitely not. And ego is the first thing that gets picked out and everyone's going to see it. And everyone's been around those people that are great in their own thing. And, oh, they're not good at it. Well, this is stupid. No. And I'll compete at anything. It doesn't matter. I'll look like a fool in front of everybody. I don't care. But the biggest thing is getting people out there and trying different things. And, you know, where you hunt makes a difference, too. After we've been doing this for a few years now, we're getting people calling back and letting us know, you know, at HHC, you know, we had this target out there at 85 yards. And back home, you know, my longest shot is 50 tops. Mm-hmm. And this shot at 85, and then they get back home during hunting season. Well, you know what? They're pretty comfortable at 50 now.
Yeah, that was definitely true for me when I got back home. I was pretty intimidated to go, but man, was it, did I just have a blast? It was awesome.
Getting people out of their comfort zone and trying different things. You know, I shot Total Archery Challenge 3D shoots that go all around the country. Mm-hmm. And I shoot that with my recurve. Well, you know, there's plenty of shots that I take there that I would never take hunting. But you know what? When hunting season comes around, that shot isn't as hard as it used to be. And yeah. that's kind of what we're trying to get people into doing.
Yeah, that's true. And I'll bring in an example from one of my other worlds. I teach drum lessons to some local students. And when I'm trying to develop their speed, you know, we call it your chops, how fast you can play the drums. I always say, okay, if you're shooting for a metronome number of like 110 sustained, you want to practice at 125 because you don't want to ever be in a situation where it counts, where you are using 100 or 101% of what you got.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's building confidence in everything you do.
Okay, so this started in 2021, is that correct?
Yes, this is our fourth year.
It's held in Newcastle, Wyoming, which is a beautiful, beautiful place. And y'all have an arrangement with a landowner, if I'm not correct, right?
Yes, and well, we have arranged with a couple landowners. Mm-hmm. We try to get a different feel every year. Mm. So we don't stay on the same ranch every year. We bounce back and forth. Last year, it was a lot of high angle, low angle stuff. And it's gorgeous up there. But it was a lot of, okay, I'm shooting down at this. I'm shooting up at that. Mm-hmm. And all these shooters out here absolutely come out here and shoot. This year, we'll be back on a ranch that we were at before, but it's a whole different side of the ranch. So it's a whole different look. We try to do a different look every time. This year is more you're spotting and stalking through the woods and kind of more shots in open park area.
That's cool. I didn't realize that you guys kind of themed it like that. I bet last year was fun hauling steel targets up and down hills.
That is, well, you can probably ask some of the competitors because at the last day, okay, y'all go grab the close steel and pull it back here and we'll get the four-wheeler for the far steel. Mm-hmm. So they had to tote that back to the shooting positions.
Man.
The three of us put all of that out there.
Yeah.
Yes. It's tighten your boots up. It was work.
Yeah. Yeah. But like you said, beautiful country out there. So I think we'd be remiss without talking about the guy who, if I'm not mistaken, whose brainchild this was, Chris Rhodes, who's well known in the handgun hunting community as a fantastic gunsmith. You know, he's retired now, but he built a lot of guns and how should I say this? He made a lot of waves, you know, a lot of new things we owe to him. And I know that he was he competed in, I don't remember exactly what, IDPA, IPSC, something like that. You know, and you've shot competitively. Anybody who follows you on social media have seen some of your cool videos of shooting competitively. And I know that there were some things that you guys were like, we like this section, both you and Chris, we like this part of the competitive aspect of it that's already existing, but there are also these things that we want to avoid, you know, specifically egos and gear racing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Chris started this whole thing and we started tinkering around. It's all his brainchild, and then asked for input from other people. Mm-hmm. And yes, he shot FBA. I don't remember his classification. He was a master in USPSA. I don't think he made a GM. Mm-hmm. I shot FBA. I was expert, I think. And then A class in USPSA, I believe, or I was close to it, but don't shoot a bunch of those matches anymore. But yes, the competitive side of it is inducing the stress and making people perform on command, which is kind of like you are hunting. You're sitting there looking around. Uh-oh, here comes an animal I'm after. Now, here's the stress induce. So how are you on your trigger press and your breathing and your target panic and your flinching? All that comes into play. From competition, it'll come right over into the hunting side.
Yeah, for sure. As a matter of fact, when I came in 2021, I was still deep in the throes of overcoming some pretty bad anxiety-based target panic. And this was one of the things, you know, it was a difficult thing, to tell you the truth, because, you know, I was a gunsmith at the time and a gun builder. I was just trying to start HHI. And I kind of had to come with my hat in my hands of like, look, I'm an evangelist, not an expert. But I found just some really good people there, including you. I don't know if you remember this, but you loaned me some 357 ammo.
Is that why you missed all your...
Yeah.
That's why I missed mine. I told you don't shoot my reloads.
Oh, man, you saved my bacon, though, because I brought my 629, but I was just flinching too bad, so I ended up having to go to my 357 Blackhawk, and I shot that, and I was short. I think I was short, like, 18 rounds or something like that, and you really helped me out. Oh, wow. That was awesome of you.
Oh, for sure.
But that's just an example of the kind of people you'll see.
Yeah, you bring that up, the egos. You know, we're here to get better. Anybody that comes out here for just the prize table, you're missing the whole match. You're missing everything that the match was designed for if you're coming here just to pick up a box of bullets off the prize table. You're missing it all. And you're pretty much wasting your time. You're coming out here for this experience and get better. Watch some of these shooters. I mean, I learn something every time I watch somebody. I'm like, wow, I didn't think of that. The way they set up their pack, the way they did this. You know, there's a bunch of things, and we can talk about gear and everything later, but there's a bunch of things when you get around and start watching people, you're like, wow, I wonder if that'll work for me. Maybe I'll try it. Maybe I'll try it when I get back home. But yes, there's no ego. Ego is the biggest thing that gets pointed out pretty quickly and gets attention. Like, look, we're all here for the same thing, is to get better, get experience, and have confidence in the field in the long run.
And another thing is, I found, you know, there are several people there who, you know, just were under the radar. Like, you didn't know who they were, or at least I didn't know who they were. You know, unfortunately, these days, so much of our interaction is done online. So people go by silly handles or, you know, whatever it is on the old school forums, and you don't know who is who, really. So this was an excellent opportunity, one, to put names with faces, and two, some people that you're talking about, like, oh my gosh, that guy, I don't even know who that is. I remember specifically, I think I may get this wrong, but there was a gentleman who won the open sided revolver division the first year. And I want to say he was shooting a Freedom Arms and 45 Win Mag. And
yes.
And I had no idea who he was, but he was just killing it, you know? And it was,
yes.
You never see that unless you go to these things.
Man, I don't remember his name. And that's bad, because that was some shooting. And
yeah.
That's cool to see that, you know, and I'm sure we'll get into gear later, but you're talking about a Freedom Arms 45 Win Mag. More and more people are showing up with, oh, I want to shoot this one this time,
mm-hmm.
and trying things that, you know, I've always had this, but I should try something different. So, but yeah. Yes, you're right. The people show up there and see them shoot, and you're like, I don't know who that is, but he or she can absolutely shoot this gun. So I'm not judging him, that's for sure.
Right, and that guy was definitely kind of the beware the man with one gun, you know? I mean, like, he knew that gun inside and out, and he was dead-eye with it.
Yeah, well, look at Jason Ford showed up that his dad's service revolver and had an optic outfit on it.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and retired it afterwards because it was shooting loose. But
yeah.
He's like, hey, I want to do this. Let me get an optic mount on it. Okay, this is what I'm doing.
I forgot. Yeah, and did he win revolver optics?
Yes.
And he got, yeah, that's right.
Did.
And he won the gun at the door prize.
Yes, and I mean, of course, we all have a bunch of money tied up in guns, and I'm going to shoot this one, and I like this one, and it's pretty, and I had this work done to it, and I don't know, he pulled old gun out of the safe, and here, I'm going to run this.
Yeah.
And he ran.
You know, and that could not have happened to a better guy. He was just like, that was a great year for sure. That was cool.
It was obvious he put in trigger time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't buy that.
The trigger time is what's going to win matches or make you place better than you thought you would.
Mm-hmm.
The trigger time, do it.
Yeah.
Money ain't going to do it.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so moving on to the kind of the way the match is set up. I didn't realize, this is new info to me, but I think it's rad that you guys do the theme thing, like the uphill, downhill, and then kind of thinking this year of a lot of spot and stalk stuff. So this is all steel targets at varying ranges. So kind of just walk me through. First of all, let's go through the different classes that you can enter in.
Okay, we've added, at request of the shooters, we added rimfire the last few years, mm-hmm. which is by far our biggest division, rimfire, almost everyone that comes brings a rimfire. And then we have pistol revolver, iron sights, pistol revolver optics, and then single shot. Mm-hmm. And that's our four divisions. And yes, it's all steel targets. Shaped targets get two shots, and then we have strung out through the division, we have animal targets, and they get one shot. So you can get, if you hit first shot on shaped targets, it's 2 points. If you miss the first target, you can re-engage a shaped target, then you get 1 point for impact. Mm. The animal targets, we go by the theme of hunting, you only get one shot. It's a hit or a miss.
Yeah, the rimfire division was not there when the year that I was able to go, and I think that's a really cool addition to it because it lets anybody get into it. You know, how many people don't, how many shooters don't have some sort of 22? And if you don't, then man, you can pick up one for a song.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone should have a rimfire. I mean, we all started shooting with a rimfire way back, you know, squirrel hunting or running trap lines or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everyone had a rimfire. That's how I started. So, I mean, yes, rimfire has become the most popular by far. And, you know, it's low cost entry. And I feel that people are more apt to get into that because it's not big boomer, don't have to worry about recoil. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not intimidating as the other ones are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Very true. And man, I can't tell you how much a rimfire helped me with my flinch and my target panic. And still, whenever I go to the range, I start and end with at least a full mag of rimfire.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So at what ranges are people going to expect to see these targets? I know it's different for each division. I know that you guys also have some like separate the men from the boys or the ladies from the girls target. So what can people expect as far as distances when they come out?
The pistol revolver, which is iron sights and optics, both those divisions, majority of the targets, 150 yards or less. So that's stretching it out, but it's still doable. And that comes back from the old IHMSA days. Mm-hmm. That added in that to stretch it out and to not get ties, we have targets at 200 and maybe some a little farther than that, but they'll be big targets, mm-hmm. you know, 2 foot by 3 foot, but that's to try to make sure we don't have tiebreaker. But anyone that's shot or watched or knows about the old IHMSA stuff, you know, they were shooting 200 offhand.
Yeah.
So that's, we kind of think, okay, that should be doable out here on a rest or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, majority 150. The single shot, majority of those targets, 350 or less. Mm-hmm. And we always have one 400, a hair over 400. A smaller target at 400, you know, and it's the same thing to break up tiebreakers and stuff. You know, everyone says they got a quarter MOA gun. Well, a 4-inch target at 400 yards is one MOA, and those are tough. I don't care who it is. Those are tough.
Hey, man, there's a lot of difference between a quarter MOA gun and a quarter MOA shooter.
I'm not a quarter MOA shooter. Yeah. Majority of our targets out there, you know, they're going to run 4 MOA. I mean, they're decent size. Mm-hmm. They're not car hoods, but they're not, you know, clay pigeons either. I mean, they're decent size out there. And rimfire is kind of the same thing. I mean, it'll be, here's a 10 yarder, a 12, a 15, a 20, you know, we'll do the same thing with rimfire. We'll put one out there, 100, 125, you know, we want to challenge those shooters as well.
Yeah.
And to add into that, you know, it's going to probably sound wrong. We don't want someone to come out here and just easily clean the match. Mm-hmm. We don't want to make it super easy that people get bored.
Right.
We want to challenge the shooters every time.
Yeah. So going through some of the rules, what are some of the, I know that you guys can get your rules online and we will make sure that everybody has a link to those. But what are some of the rules as far as guns, weight, caliber, all that stuff?
The biggest thing on that, when the competitors read that, don't mix divisions. That's get to be a thing. People like, well, this is, says this and this says that. People have a tendency to mix up the divisions. Each division is its own thing. you know, the pistol revolver, that is pistol revolver, max length barrel, you know, 12 inches. I mean, don't mix that in with single shot pistol.
Mm.
You know, people have a tendency to start reading through this and they get mixed up on it.
Right.
Single shot, max 7.5 pounds, includes, you know, how you're taking it out there. If you've got a bipod on it, everything, your optics, all that counts towards the weight.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing of that is, you know, I had an XP that I built up as a bench gun years ago, 243. It was, you know, it was, I forget the stock on it. I'll remember it as soon as we're done. But, you know, it was loaded full of lead, and I put that on the bench, and it was super easy to shoot, you know, 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But the gun weighed 14 pounds.
Right.
I'm not toting a 14-pound gun out there hunting. So that's why we did with the weight classes and everything. Try it. We don't want an arms race. We want you, if you're shaking, we want you to see it. Control your breathing. Control your trigger press. We don't want some super heavy gun that doesn't move. So that's why we have the weight limit on those.
Makes sense.
Yep. What else were you
looking at? What about caliber restrictions?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. 30 caliber for pistol revolver. And yes, we've had someone, more than one, show up with a 9mm semi-auto. I'm not going to say, are they hunting with it or not? But you know what? Caliber-wise, that's bigger than 30. And you absolutely can shoot the match with your 9mm semi-auto with a red dot. You know, when you reach out there probably 125 or so, it's going to start dropping pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it may even affect the way the impacts are on steel. You know, did that hit a strap or did it actually hit steel? It's gonna be hard to hear, especially with some wind.
Right.
So that little 9mm may be difficult. But you know what? If you want to show up with your 9mm, hey, I want to see how good this is. Load it up and let's go.
Yeah, and that's awesome. That's so, I want to stop there because that is so awesome that you guys do that, because I am always preaching that hunt with what you've got. Now, I'm not going to get into the whether or not 9mm is a good big game cartridge, because it's a little light for my opinion, but you can go hunt small game with it for sure. It's not too much for rabbits or whatever. And if you it's just basically like, don't let the lack of gear stop you from getting involved in the sport. And for you guys to say, hey man, we're not going to be wounding steel out here. If you want to try it with your 9mm, go for it, because that's basically the gateway, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You don't have to go and buy. 90% of people have a gun and a gun safe that will work for the match.
Mm-hmm.
So if a 9mm is what you got, we're not discussing the legality from
right.
game fishing parks
right.
on hunting game with that. We're discussing the match.
Right.
So is 30 caliber or bigger? Yes. Bring your 9mm. Have a go at it. How good is that red dot on top of it? And how good are you at estimating?
Mm-hmm.
That's all we care about.
Yeah.
Challenge shooters pretty much have something that you can shoot.
Yeah. And if someone brings a 9mm out 1 year, they're going to definitely be drooling over something that they'll probably come back with next year.
Oh, absolutely. I'm hoping more semi-autos this year. I actually been thinking about maybe I should try semi-auto and make a fool out of myself. But, you know, there's a bunch of 10mm out there.
Yeah.
You know what? 10mm's all the craze. Maybe I should bring my 10mm out.
Man, go for it. That brings another question to mind. So I know that each entrant can enter themselves in every division, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So if you,
absolutely.
My question is, if you have a open sight pistol revolver division, that means that competitor has to choose either a revolver or a pistol, correct?
We have revolver pistol irons, revolver pistol optics,
mm-hmm.
rimfire, and single shot. So four divisions. So if I want to shoot iron sights, optics, rimfire, single shot, that's four divisions.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you choose your division, but you absolutely can choose all four. And we have plenty of competitors that shoot all four. Because, you know, let's face it, you're making the trip out here. Get as much shooting in as possible as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying you can't shoot more than four, right? Like you couldn't do an open-sighted revolver and an open-sighted pistol, correct?
Right. Right. You choose one or other.
That's what I thought. I was just double checking. Yeah. Trying to think of all the questions that we've been asked throughout the years of, you know, all these little things that happen out there. Okay, so let's get into, what about caliber restrictions for single shots?
Single shot, you know, and we've had to make some rule changes on that because it's getting harder and harder. 6 millimeter or larger, and that comes back to the old TC contenders and the G2s, if there's ever chambers for that and everything. Mm-hmm. And we implemented the nozzle rule because the new Nosler single shot, well, that came, we're allowing 708, 6.5 Creedmoor, and 308.
Okay.
Any other cartridges need to be approved by the match director. But it's getting so hard to find single shots nowadays.
Right.
You kind of have to tailor the rules to the market. And that's why we did the Nosler rule.
Yeah, that makes sense. And we appreciate that you guys did that so that we're not excluded just because we have a certain, you know, because we own an M48 or something.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, yep. And if we didn't change, then we're pretty much just counting out shooters that would otherwise maybe attend.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, if there's questions on it, we can always work with it. You contact us, the master director will make the decision. You know, the Nosler rule, we're allowing the Nosler, so it doesn't come in those old calibers that everyone's used to. Mm-mm. But, you know, that Nosler is also tough to make weight. So you're going to have to make an effort to make weight on that. If you show up with a Nosler with a bipod and, you know, a 6x24 rifle scope on it and this and that thing, that's not making weight.
No.
You have to make an effort to stick to the rules as close as possible.
Right.
And then, of course, all that will be discussed at the check-in. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty obvious when someone tries to make weight and when someone's like, it's good enough.
I gotcha. So when, of all the people that come to the competition, when I was there, there were a couple of ladies there, and I think there was one young man who was probably 11 or 12. Do y'all have an age restriction on the young end? And then what have you seen as far as, who attends, ladies, guys, kids? I mean, everybody's welcome, obviously, but just what have you seen? 'Cause I'm curious.
Okay. For your first one, age restriction. There is no age restriction. I had a fella last year before, I don't remember, wanted his daughter to come out. She shoots competitive trap or whatever. Can she shoot a pistol? I'm told him absolutely. And I think she was 12 or 14. Mm-hmm. Forgive me, I don't remember. But I told him if she can safely handle the firearm, she absolutely can shoot the match.
Gotcha.
We're not there to teach gun safety. We're there to enforce the safety rules, which is pretty simple. So absolutely, we're not, if the person can safely handle the firearm, then they can shoot the match.
Gotcha.
And that's the biggest thing is safety. And we're not there to discourage nobody. Yes, it's perfect. We would love to have those young shooters come out here and experience this because, well, we're all getting old and we're going to die and someone's going to take over for us.
Speak for yourself. Dave, you're 40. You're like 42. No, I'm joking. Your beard is 42.
Absolutely. You're talking about lady shooters.
Mm-hmm.
In youngsters, the youngsters and the ladies, once we adopted Rimfire after the first year, that was pretty much the gateway.
Yeah, I bet. I was going to say, one of the reasons that I ask, you know, I'm a parent with three young kids, and it's a lot more feasible to make it to the match sometimes if you can bring the family, you know, and it's a cool family experience. It's a family atmosphere and all that. Here's a question. So if a parent brings a child, is the kid required to be able to do each stage solo, or is the parent allowed to shadow them?
The parent absolutely is allowed to shadow.
Okay.
The few kids that I've had on my squad, I've asked, do you want me to help them or do you want to help them? Because it's intimidating for a young competitor to get up there and now someone that they don't know is going to be standing over them. Obviously, I'm going to be sitting back watching safety-wise, but if there's a malfunction and this person they don't know comes over to help them fix it, when mom or dad has been doing it for years, that can be absolutely intimidating for that young shooter.
Oh man. Sometimes the opposite can be true. You know, I've seen sometimes I know some kids that probably a lot rather have Dave House help them clear a jam than their dad.
And this is true too. And I've seen it in other matches. Yeah. And you know, you kind of see that in here. Let me take over, you know, in the mm-hmm, nicest way mm-hmm. possible. Here, let me take over. So you can kind of see that.
Right. Right. There are so many people there that everybody is just willing to help. It's really cool. So I can only imagine that. Okay. Moving on into the fun stuff. What are the most popular kinds of guns that you guys see there?
Oh my goodness. Everything, honestly. Most popular, I guess. Oh, I would say Smith & Wesson revolvers, TC contenders, mm-hmm. XPs, rimfire, Rugers, or Browning butt marks. Yes, there's Volkfortzes. Yes, there's Anschutz, stuff like that.
Right.
But, and like I said before, more and more people, you know, they showed up this year and shot their 686. Well, next year I'm gonna shoot my 460. Mm-hmm. Okay, come out and shoot that. You know, I have this. I'm trying to think of anything. You know, plenty of BFRs, Freedom Arms, of course. It's all over. Ruger Blackhawks. It's all over.
That's awesome.
So,
is there any one? Oh, that reminds me actually. So in the rimfire division, what are the rules as far as iron sights and optics for the rimfires?
Rimfire, you can shoot irons if you want. We pretty much say shoot optics. Mm-hmm. We don't have a rimfire irons, rimfire optics division. It's rimfire. And it can't have a rifle scope on it. It has to be a pistol scope. And 10 inch or less.
Okay, gotcha. I imagine if you go, you know, after this has been going on for a few years, you might see some people who have done it with the red dot or scope enough, and they're going to try out something different.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's what we're getting to now. People are like, I'm going to shoot this with irons. Mm-hmm. Well, fine. That's happening more and more now.
Yeah.
People are like, I've shot this same gun there every year. Time for me to try something different.
That's cool.
And we had guys shooting on my squad last year, rimfire irons. He's like, I've never done it. I want to try it. Yeah. Well, good for you.
So with the rimfire, the longer targets for the rimfire, if you go with a reflex style sight or a red dot, like either, you know, an RMR style or a tube sight like an ultra dot, are you okay with a 2 MOA dot or a 3 MOA dot, or do you need to go, is that too big for some of those big, longer targets?
That can get big. Mm-hmm. At longer distance, I shot it last year with a 4-inch 617 with a little reflex dot on top of it, just to see if I could do it. I didn't do that well, but just to see if I could do it. And that was a 3 MOA dot. Mm-hmm. And out there at distance, it covers a lot of target.
Right.
And I had to, let me pull off a little bit. Okay, there's where it is, and move back over.
Yeah, that because I have a Fast Fire 3 on my Ruger Mark III target, and I love it. But yeah, it starts covering things up at distance.
Yep.
Okay, so if you were to say in any, I mean, I know I'm not, this is not an equipment race. I get that. But if you were going to say, hey, if you want to do well in this competition, here are some of the gear things as far as guns and other ancillary gear, like here are the things you need to consider about your gear and what to bring.
Oh wow, you're gonna make me make people mad. the single shot that wins the most is XP with a rifle scope. Mm-hmm. And I love my TCs, but most people that are placing higher, the winners are XP with a rifle scope. Mm-hmm. Revolver and rimfire, it's a toss up. The revolver optics is this year out of 56 that I have registered right now, 35 shooting iron sights, 51 revolver optics, 37 single shots, and 50 rimfire. So the optics is taking over. mm-hmm. from the irons. And that plays right into what's being won. The most people like to see through the optic.
Yeah.
And most of those are magnified optics.
Oh, yeah. I was just curious about, so optics on the revolvers, typically it's people shooting a handgun scope that wins?
Yes.
Okay. What scopes do you see? I mean, I imagine you still saw some loopholes, but they're going to be rarer and rarer.
Yeah, since loopholes stopped, it'll be rarer and rarer. Burst, mm-hmm. by far the most popular. The 2-7 seems to be the most popular. The 3-12, if you start cranking that up, you lose eye relief pretty quick on it.
Right, yeah.
So the 2-7. The Crimson Trace, I really, really like that one. And you're starting to see more and more of those. And people use the reticle in the burst, but I think the Crimson Trace reticle is easier to get holdovers on. Because no one's dialing. They're right. all doing holdovers.
Right, yeah.
So that seems to be gaining traction on the burrises.
I have a Crimson Trace on my, it's on my 730 Waters barrel for my contender. And I love that scope. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. The biggest complaint about the Crimson Trace is certain sunlight conditions, the reticle turns copper,
mm-hmm.
like a copper color if you get it just right. And you can lose that, I guess, in the fall woods. Pretty decent. I've seen it, but I haven't seen it while I was hunting. And so it is a valid concern that, yes, that will turn brownish. And if you're on a brown deer in the fall and all the leaves are brown, yes, that could become an issue that you need to be aware of.
It's one of the it's one of the few areas where someone like me who's colorblind has an advantage.
Yes, yes. But I've absolutely seen it on the range. I just haven't. And maybe I wasn't watching good enough while I was hunting with it,
mm-hmm.
but it hasn't hampered me.
Yeah, nor me. I'm in the same boat as you. I've heard others talk about that. It's never hurt me in the woods. And as a matter of fact, I've seen that kind of effect where the light hits the reticle just right to change it color in other scopes too.
Yep.
It's just a fact of life. But
on that, you know, people that shoot mini red dots on their pistols in the right sun, you can get the double dot too.
Right. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You absolutely can get a fake dot above you that the sun's coming in and it presents a dot, and that dot is not the right dot. The dot's actually lower.
That's true.
And to prove that, an easy way of working on that is to, if you're shooting both eyes open, you can cover the front of your dot. With both eyes open, the dot will superimpose on your target.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, both eyes open with a red dot is the way to go, man. It's so much easier.
Yes. And that's why the tube sights, the mini red dots are great. I love them. I have them on plenty of my guns. But, you know, for a hunting gun, those tube sights, they take away a bunch of that.
That's right. Okay, moving on into the non-gun gear, like rests and bags and binoculars and yada yada that you should bring. What are some of the things that people need to consider?
Bags. You're going to be carrying your gear from stage to stage. So you'll want something to carry your gear. Backpack, you know, if you're shooting one or two division, a backpack to carry all your gear, your ammo, your drinks, your snacks for the day. Because you have to carry it from stage to stage.
Mm-hmm.
More and more people are bringing in those fold-up carts, like people that go to the grocery store and stuff like that. Yeah, more and more people are bringing those to tote all their gear, which is not a bad thing to have. They're cheap enough to go from stage to stage.
Yeah. What about those? What about those little wagons? Do people bring those, and are they feasible?
Yes. Yes. Okay. That's kind of what I'm saying. The little carts, the little wagons.
I used to see those at cowboy action matches all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Your cowboy cart that everyone went from stage to stage on, that's turned over into 3-gun, PRS, USPSA, IDPS. Everyone, and you get one person to buy it, and then everyone throws their gear in it, and then you just take turns pulling it from stage to stage.
Yeah, that's true. That's cool.
Absolutely worth it. I throw all my stuff in a backpack, and then, you know, me and another guy will throw it in the cart and pull from stage to stage.
Mm-hmm.
Other gear. Everyone's going to talk about bags. That's always be the center of contention.
I'm going to get weight limit. I love that center of contention. There's a t-shirt right there. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, the bag. I'm sorry. Yeah, the bag is You mean like the shooting bag. The shooting bag?
Yes, your field support and rest there is what labeled on our rules document.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read it for you. Total weight of the field rest cannot exceed 3.5 pounds, and this includes bipods, monopods, maybe attached to the handgun. It also, your shooting sticks, small field bags, slings, and so on. So we do not want, I can't remember the name of the bags. I knew I'd forget it. You know, the big bags with the channel in it where you can set your gun in and it just sits there all on its own.
The Crosstack?
No. There's one. It's green. Is it made by Caldwell? Has a big channel that goes down. It's probably a foot long. Where you set any of those bags where you set your gun down and it absolutely does not move.
Gotcha.
No. And it weighs, 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
No. We put a weight limit on that because it's stuff that you're going to be carrying in the field. You have to have control of that. If you just slap it in a bag and it just sits there rock solid, no. Because you're not going to take that hunting, really.
Right.
It's the same reason we don't allow tripods or the hog saddles or the clamps or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, we want to make this a shooting competition, not an arms race. No, you need to hold on to that. If you allow that, then that's just like any other thing. Clamp your gun in a vise and squeeze the trigger.
Gotcha. So you don't allow any, you allow bipods, but not tripods. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hold on. I'm curious about that because I know plenty of guys who actually do hunt with tripods and like a PSR or something like that.
For sure. I don't hunt with that. I'm just saying the majority of people that we run across don't hunt with that. And we're trying to make it for the majority. And if you allow that, then you're getting in an arms race.
I understand.
Because how much does a good tripod cost? They're
so stupid.
It's $500 is nothing for a good tripod.
I know. Jeez.
Nothing. And you get in, I'm not going to name any names, but you can get some and they'll be $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
And then if you want to add like a hog saddle or any clamp on top of it, mm-hmm. you're adding that money.
Yeah.
That gets to be an arms race.
I gotcha. Well, okay, that's good because I hunt almost exclusively with my custom PSR on top of a bog pod tripod. So I'm gonna have to practice.
Yep.
I'm gonna have to practice something else if I come again.
Oh, for sure.
I don't suppose you'd let me bring a hunting blind made out of 2x4s and plywood. I mean, that's what we rest on down here.
Actually, last year we had a little hunting blind type deal we set up off of a sawhorse. So,
cool.
And made people that one was a little difficult. That was fun.
I love that. I love the challenge yourself aspect of it for sure. Okay.
Absolutely.
So yeah, the shooting rest cannot, or whatever your field support cannot weigh more than 3.5 pounds, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And it can't hold the gun independently.
Ah, yes. Okay. Understood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if it does, we've all shot off a rest like that.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there's no right and left movement.
Yeah.
When you clamp that down and you're like, I'm steady as a rock. Well, you are, but there's no right and left movement. If it's a shooter induced, that's what we want to, what we want to test. We don't want to just lock it down and this is easy.
Right. Okay. So when you go to the line, it's just going to be your gun, your field support rest, and your ammo. What about ammo? Are there any restrictions on ammo? Do y'all have velocity limits or types? I mean, obviously no steel core ammo for your targets, but what other restrictions do y'all have?
No velocity restrictions. Your bullet restriction is the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, no steel core, no small open tip match. The varmint, the target bullets, the full metal jackets, not permitted. When you're talking about the Berger, the Barnes, the Spear TNTs, none of those small match open tip bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's using, V-Maxes or the soft point, and that even in expanding tips.
Gotcha.
Because the amount of damage that we get on steel, if that gets through, we've had it happen. We try to mitigate it as much as possible. I'm not saying we're going to be 100% on it, but we try to mitigate. That steel is expensive. We got a bunch of it.
Yeah.
And we can't afford to replace it.
So can you shoot cast lead bullets?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And what about monolithic bullets?
You know, I don't know if we covered that.
So all copper, solid copper type?
I don't know if we've addressed that. I'll have to bring that up.
Well, you're welcome. No.
Oh, no. Here,
no, knowing Chris, that's in there because he has been doing a lot of work with those.
Absolutely. When you go through the rules right here, mini targets will be close, expanding point or lead bullets are mandatory. There you go.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yes.
Makes sense. You're right. You got to protect that expensive AR-500 stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So then, you know, gear, great. What are the other things? So you're going to need your gun, your ammo, a field rest, your cart. I found binoculars to be very helpful. You know, obviously you're going to be outside, so you're going to want to bring water, snacks, sunscreen, hat, those kinds of things. Are there any other things that people may not think of that you're like, oh yeah, you need to bring this?
Right. And you're hitting all the ones that everyone needs and thinks of. Rangefinder, we give out ranges on all the targets, but if you want to come and verify your range, absolutely throw your little rangefinder in there. Because, you know, we do a pretty good job of ranging all the targets because we go downrange and range back to the big rock or whatever we're shooting off of. But, yes, bring your rangefinder if you want. Hat, sunscreen, safety glasses, ear protection, water, snacks. What else? What else am I not thinking of? Absolutely, binoculars. You can bring a spotting scope if you want. I think binos is probably the better way to go. Because you move on targets so fast, repositioning a spotting scope, you get to be a pain. But, you know, we have plenty. You know, a notepad, write down. If you don't have your reticle memorized or a little drawing that you can go off of, when we get up there and start telling you where targets are and the yardages, you can write that down.
So let's just walk through how the match goes. Y'all start, do people get there on Thursday or Friday?
People get here Thursday. We're starting to do check-in on Thursday to minimize the wait time.
Okay.
On Friday, we will have safety briefing every morning, but we try to minimize the check-in now.
Right.
So we're starting to do that on Thursdays. Check-in Thursday, Friday morning, we get to the range. Normally, I caravan everybody out there. Everyone gets their gear together. We do our safety briefing. We break down in squads. We shoot 3 stages a day. The first year we did all 6 in a day, and that was too much.
We did. And for somebody who's never been there, 6 stages doesn't sound like a lot until you're trying to get that many shooters through every stage, switching out shooters, walk into the different stage, all that stuff. So yeah, that was a good move.
Yes. So that's why we went to a 2-day format, shoot 3 stages a day. And then, so Friday you'll show up, do your safety brief and everything, you get squatted up, and you go to your stages and you'll start the course of fire. And then Saturday it'll be the same thing. You get there in the morning, we check in. Okay, you shot. Well, last year we had a bottom section and a top section up on top of the hill. So we shot the bottom the first day. Second day you got to shoot the 3 on top.
I remember on Saturday night was like the banquet to you know, cap everything off. Where prizes, prize table, glad handing, just a good old time, food and fun. It's something you don't want to miss. And do y'all usually do this on Father's Day weekend? Is that correct?
Yes, Father's Day weekend. It seems like a lot of guys can get passes on Father's Day weekend. We're having more and more people show up and they make, you know, kind of a vacation in the Black Hills about it. They come out, shoot the match, stay a week and go see the sights before they go back home. Yeah.
Well, and I don't know if it's going to be the same this year, but Handgun Hunters Competition is one of 3 competitions that are held within inside a week, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So y'all, Y-Shot, and MOA are all that week, starting with y'all usually.
All kind of in the same area, yep.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because y'all are in Newcastle, and then you drive over to Gillette for Y-Shot.
Yep.
Okay, well, man, that's awesome. So let's see, is there anything we haven't covered? Oh, I do want to know, where do people stay in Newcastle? What's the down low on the best place to stay?
The lodge at Newcastle is probably where most people stay. Mm-hmm. Newcastle is pretty small for people that don't know. So there's only a few hotels. They're supposed to have another one open up in Upton, which is only like 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
But the lodge at Newcastle where most people stay, but all the other little ones around there people stay too. People that bring in campers and stuff, you know, you can camp on state land.
Right. Yeah.
So
I stayed at the lodge, and it was really nice. It was good accommodations, I thought. It was.
Oh, it's very good accommodations, and they know we're coming.
Right.
You know, we had a question on safety.
Personal
safety, not rain safety, and I misread it. But yes, we've never had an issue at the lodge or any of those. We've never had one person that I know of that has complained. And you know, there's someone broke into my car or whatever.
Right.
I've never heard that. The lodge, everyone knows what you're carrying around in those big cases. You know, they know.
Yeah.
But we've never had an issue that I've heard of. And if we have, someone let me know, because I'm obviously oblivious to it.
I think you would know.
Yeah. I would think that would get over the social media pretty quick.
Right. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, lastly, I want to get to, so HHC is now overseen by the Handgun Hunters Charitable Foundation, and all proceeds from HHC go to a charitable cause that you guys pick. So can you tell me kind of what's the mission of the Charitable Foundation, and do you know what you guys are steering the funds of HHC towards this year?
No, we don't know what we're steering the funds this year. The mission, and it's on our page too, support individuals, organizations, outdoor rec, augment wildlife conservation, promote safe, ethical hunting. So read that straight off the page.
Yeah.
Just everyone can hear that up front. We give all of our money back. We're not making money on this. Everything goes back. At the end of the year, we ask for submissions to who would like to be money given to them.
I gotcha.
So, and then we take all those applications and we go to the board and we start voting on them. We've given in the years past, all the years past, Project Healing Waters, South Dakota Youth Hunters Association. I actually went and did a handgun hunting class for the youth hunters, and they've never had anybody do that before. And that was pretty slick.
Yeah.
That was pretty slick. And there was a lot of kids that like, you can do this with a handgun.
Awesome.
And teach them basic handgun safety and stuff like that. But there were some kids and some adults there like, oh, wow, this is actually something you can do. Absolutely you can.
Man, that's really good. So for anybody listening, you go to HHC, everything that above what covers the cost of putting on the match goes towards this charity, and they put it back into the community, furthering the mission of ethical hunting, which I think is fantastic. Do you guys have any other fundraisers throughout the year? Or, I mean, I assume since you're a charitable organization, you'll take people's money, but is there any other thing y'all do as far as fundraising is concerned?
No, this is the biggest one we do, take donations and stuff like that. But this is our biggest fundraiser.
Good.
And, you know, and like going back to that, giving everything back, we donated to Wild Turkey Federation. We paid for a couple hunters to come out to Wyoming to hunt turkey in Wyoming, because Wyoming is one of the few states you can hunt turkey with a handgun.
Right.
We bought new air guns for 40th shooting sports. We actually bought a bunch of trees where they could plant by the creek side, more native trees to go by the creek side and the trout streams, because the old ones are dying and they had invasive species. Let's buy new native trees.
That's cool.
So it's not just hunting, it's outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
We try to spread it around for everything.
Yeah.
If anyone has other ideas, you know, it's kind of, we've done some national and some local. Of course, we try to do support local as much as possible. But if there's some thing we need to donate to and we don't know about it, you know, shoot me a message or send it to our page or anything. You can find me. Send me a message. Hey, y'all might want to think about this in this state. And, oh, you know what? We'll put it on the list and it'll go to the board to get voted on. We're not trying just to do it all here. If it needs to go to somewhere else, we're all about supporting somewhere else.
That's great. That's great. Okay.
For the outdoors.
So before I let you go, first tell people where they can find about HHC online, where they can find about the Charitable Foundation online, and where they can follow you on social media.
Okay. HHC, our Facebook page, Handgun Hunters Competition, our website, handgunhunterscomp.com, Instagram, Handgun Hunters competition. And all of that info we try to cross-post to everyone's personal page, my Instagram page, Ammotex, A-M-M-O-T-E-X. You don't want my Facebook page because I don't post anything good on there. It's all garbage. It's all garbage. So, yep, that's Handgun Hunters Competition, Facebook, Instagram, and Handgun Hunters Comp on the internet.
And what about the charitable foundation?
And that's all tagged.
Oh, okay. It's tied in. All right.
It's all tagged on that site. We don't have a site just for the HHCF.
Gotcha.
Because we started the HHC and then got our 501c3. So all that is tagged in the same thing. It's all cross-posted.
Dave, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on. I just want to say, as a handgun hunter, thank y'all so much for putting on this competition. It is wonderful. Anybody listening, if you're on the fence about going and you can make it happen, you absolutely should get out to do it. You will learn a ton. You will be around just stellar people. And, you know, from my community and the people that I know, we're really grateful to what y'all do out there, Dave.
Well, thanks for having me. And honestly, it's for the shooters. We try to make the best match we possibly can for the shooters. If I'm missing something or sound like an idiot, shoot me a message. I'll clarify it, or we'll get you clarification. If you have any ideas to make it better. No, I mean, we're trying to make it better for the shooters. So if y'all want something different, let us know. That's how we got Rimfire.
That's awesome.
So we're trying to do it for everybody else.
Yeah. Incredible. Well, thanks again, Dave. I appreciate you coming on. I hope you have a good one.
Thank you, sir. You too. Anytime you want to talk, just let me know.
I will.
Have a great day.
Gang, I went the first year they had Handgun Hunters Competition, and it was a blast. I am going to work hard to make it back again. But I can just say, if you're considering going, it will totally up your game. You've got to try it at least once, if not more than once. I cannot stress enough. If you're a handgun hunter and you want to learn more, how to be better, no matter how good you are, you want to learn how to be better, go meet awesome people, shoot in beautiful scenery, see all the cool guns and gear that people bring, and just enjoy the fellowship. I can't recommend it enough. Again, I want to steer all of you towards handgunhunterscomp.com, their website, handgunhunterscomp.com. You can find them on the social medias at Handgun Hunters Competition as well, or just follow Ammotex on Instagram at Ammotex. That's Dave's Instagram handle, and he's always posting interesting content as well. He told me to make sure to let you guys know, and this is in the show notes, to reach out to him if you have any questions. He is on social media on Facebook. You can message him through Instagram at Ammotex, and he's also active on the HHI forum, which you can message him through there as well. Okay, I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Onward to the next one. Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by Handgun Hunters International. HHI is the only organization dedicated solely to supporting and growing the sport of handgun hunting. Membership gets you access to our great, well-moderated forum where friendly handgun hunters of all experience levels share stories and information from folks that have actual experience in our sport. We also host giveaways to our members of guns, gear, and ammo every month, and each prize is worth several times what membership costs. In addition to this podcast, we publish a free digital magazine, The Six Gunner, which is written exclusively by HHI members. If you are a handgun hunter or support handgun hunting in any way, you need to be a member of HHI. Join today at handgunhuntersinternational.com. Again, if you have any questions on how to get started in handgun hunting, please reach out to me at ryan@handgunhuntersinternational.com. If you think we deserve it, please leave us a 5-star review, and don't forget to follow Handgun Hunters International on social media at @handgunhuntersint. God bless and good hunting.